Live foreign correspondent.
Yes, indeed. It's that time of the week where we check in with one of our foreign correspondents. And this week, we're going to France, where France 24 journalist Sharon Gaffney is on the line to tell us all about the latest news stories. Sharon, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Phil. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's terrific to have you with us too. France is at the moment a bit like the UK in industrial chaos. Maybe the French are in a better and overall economic position, I would imagine. But French unions are calling for another day of strikes in protest at President Emmanuel Macron's fiercely contested pensions overhaul in Parliament. This is a huge issue in France, isn't it? Where the social, where the French safety net, as it were, you might get poor, but you'll never get forgotten in France, has been a key part of the economic consensus, the social consensus in France. And it's the strikes have resulted in tons of garbage piling up on Paris footpaths as sanitation workers go on strike. What are these reforms of Emmanuel Macron all about?
Well, Phil, it's D-Day for the French government here. The controversial pension reform plans, they're set for a final vote in Parliament in less than 2 hours' time. So yesterday on Wednesday, we saw protesters again taken to the streets for further nationwide rallies. It was the eighth so-called day of action since mid-January when this campaign really kicked off. But yesterday, the numbers were significantly down. In the early days of the campaign, we were seeing more than a million people taken to the streets. Yesterday, there were 480,000 people. Now, that's still a significant number of protesters, but the movement does, like it has been losing steam over the past couple of weeks. And reforming the pension system here in France, it's something the consecutive governments have been talking about at this stage for decades. Back before Emmanuel Macron was elected, it was one of his key campaign pledges, reforming the pension system. What he's seeking essentially to do is to raise the eligibility age for a state pension from 62. It's relatively low, that age. He wants to increase by 2 years to 64, and that he wants to have that set in place by 2030. And he also wants people to have to work for 43 years before they can access a full state pension. Now, the government, it says these reforms are necessary, or the system, it's not going to be able to cope in the years to come. People here, like the protests have been ongoing, as I say, since January. People here, most of them, they do oppose those reforms. About 70% of the population supports the unions. But also a similar number accepts and really concedes that these reforms are going to take place. As I say, the key vote is happening
in
2 hours' time.
Is it likely to pass, do you think, Sharon?
Well, the speculation this morning is that it could come down to as little as two votes either way. So it's very, very close. If it doesn't become law, the real problem for Emmanuel Macron is that he's setting himself up. If this whole these reforms fail to go through, he really will be a lame duck presidency just 1 year into his second mandate. So it's a moment of truth for him. He's held two crisis meetings. One of them has just finished there at the Elysee in the last couple of minutes. He's trying to really rally support if it does come down to as little as 2 or 10 votes either way. What they're trying to do, his main problem really is that he doesn't have a majority in Parliament after the last election. During his first mandate, he did. So there wasn't really any problem with the government pushing through its own legislation. That has all changed because the government doesn't have that majority and it's relying on other parties to get legislation through. So that's the issue this morning for us here in France. And it's just going to be very tricky for him to get that. People can see that this reform is going to happen, but we just don't know. There's even speculation this morning that the government won't even hold that vote because things are looking so close that it might go ahead and use an article. It's a very controversial article of the Constitution, 49.3. We've been hearing a lot about it here in France the last few months because the government has used it to push, for example, budget legislation through. It doesn't want to use it this time, but there is speculation that perhaps they won't hold that vote this afternoon and that the government will just push the legislation through. So this morning, the unions are gathering like outside the national parliament. We can see them. I'm watching them there as I speak to you. They're trying to put pressure on the deputies who are arriving in ahead of that vote, if it does happen this afternoon, to try and convince them to vote against the legislation or at least abstain from voting. So it's really all to play for in the next couple of hours.
Yeah, interesting. All right. What's the city looking and smelling like, Sharon?
Yeah, well, that's you've. I'm sure possibly your listeners have seen those horrible images of piles of rubbish piling up around Paris, outside Notre Dame, close to the Eiffel Tower. It's actually nearly 8,000 tons of rubbish at this stage hasn't been collected around the city. Now, it's not right across the board. For example, where I live, things are, they're private contractors. It's not the city of Paris, the council, so to speak, who are responsible for collecting the rubbish. It's so in certain arrondissements, in about half the districts of Paris, there's no issue, essentially. But yeah, like this morning, like just in the last hour or so, there's the interior minister. He's asked the mayor of Paris, the city council, so to speak, to provide the names and addresses of the agents who are responsible for maintaining the streets, for keeping the streets clean. So we could see police officers are actually being brought in later on today to start clearing the rubbish, because it's a massive issue with rats, essentially, like health concerns with that level of rubbish piling up on the streets.
I'm sure. All right. Now, meanwhile, the UK Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, who was meeting our Prime Minister and the American President the last couple of days, also recently met with Macron, President Macron, to discuss illegal migration across the channel, well, or migration across the channel, particularly asylum seekers and others, and they also discussed the latest developments on the war in Ukraine. One of the main issues they were there to discuss was this new and controversial legislation in the UK, in which the UK is trying to fund and establish a detention centre in northern France as part of a package to try and stop refugees trying to cross the channel. Now, what's the French government making of a plan like this?
Well, this wouldn't be the first time like that they have reached a deal, the UK and France, over the migrant crisis. It's been rumbling literally for years at this point. I think we've had four different deals. But yes, the British Prime Minister was in Paris last Friday. They're calling it the bankers' bromance here. A lot of focus on the relationship and the chemistry between the two men. But in terms of, yes, as you're saying, concrete outcomes from that meeting, there was a deal reached over migration. So the UK, it's agreed to provide over 500 million euros to France over the next 3 years. That will be used to increase police patrols along the northern French coastline. That's where these migrants are leaving. They're departing in small boats, heading across the channel, the short voyage to England. Now, that funding, as you say, will also be used to build a migrant detention centre and for drone surveillance as well. But really what the UK were hoping was to reach a deal there on returning these migrants to France, because that's what the British government says. It believes that they should be staying in France, that it's a safe country, that there's no need for them to come to the UK, and if they do, that they should be sent back. But it's like at this stage, obviously, it's too early to say how efficient any detention centre will be once it is constructed along the northern coastline. Like 46,000 people, if you can just imagine, like made that journey between France and the UK last year. We've had several tragedies as well where people have drowned while trying to make that journey. You know, and the UK, I'm not sure if your listeners may be aware, there's another controversial policy that it's been challenged in the courts at the moment, but they want to send these asylum seekers to Rwanda in East Africa.
That's right.
Yeah, so there have been, you know, when we're talking about detention centres, parallels actually drawn unfavourably with the situation in Australia, actually, the use of offshore detention centres, for example. So, yeah, but in terms of a lot of the coverage here of that meeting, apart from what was agreed, we also, the two leaders also agreed to, you know, work closely together in terms of their energy sector and also the funding for the war in Ukraine, obviously. But a lot of the focus here in the newspapers, it was all about the relationship, really, between the two men and the stark difference between Rishi Sunak's approach and Boris Johnson, of course, even Liz Truss.
Yes, well, and even Liz, the short-lived Liz Truss, who had a quite combative relationship with Macron, didn't she?
Exactly. Like she was asked, she seemed to have been very much on the same hymn sheet as Boris Johnson with lots of issues. But when she was asked, she came, you know, her brief stint in power, she was asked, you know, perhaps in jest, was Emmanuel Macron a friend or a foe of the UK? And, you know, her line was, the jury's still out on that one. So, yeah, I think that, yeah. But, I mean, that visit, like, you know, it was Rishi Sunak's, it was only his second overseas trip. He came to Paris last week. We'll have King Charles visiting at the end of the month for his first, you know, overseas state visit. So there's a lot of focus on the moment after a lot of tensions, you know, relations really described as that breaking point between the UK and France in recent years. So that visit really was a lot about, you know, trying to mend bridges and restore those ties, you know, which were really badly damaged during Boris Johnson's term in office.
Yes, they were. They were. Meanwhile, of course, the UK, Rishi Sunak needs to go home because the UK has got enormous problems with the health system, doctors on strike and transport workers, and the whole place is falling apart. I'm sure, as Emmanuel Macron reminded Mr. Sunak, I would have thought.
Yeah, because that's one of the things the two of them have in common. They seem to have a lot in common. You know, their age, they're both former bankers, former finance ministers, and they're also dealing with this cost of living crisis here in Europe, and rising prices, inflation. Like, it's a very difficult time for the two leaders. We've seen strikes in the UK, ongoing strikes here, of course, in France. So, yeah, that's why they're calling it the bankers' bromance, and, you know, they're sharing umbrellas outside the Elysee.
I'm sure that's going down very well with unions. All right. Look, just finally, finally, Sharon Gaffney's with us from France 24, reporting on the latest news from France. France is set to regulate social media influencers. Gee, good luck. But the economy minister, Bruno Le Maire, has set to introduce regulations to try and do something about social media influencers.
Yeah, and that legislation, it relates specifically to the posting of images of children online, and that's set to be debated in Parliament at the end of this month. And it's aiming to protect children from, you know, their parents posting, oversharing, as they call it, images of their children online. And what the government feels is that these children have a right to privacy when they become adults, particularly, and a right to dignity. So parents will be bound, if this becomes law, to respect their child's private life. But a large part of this, it's aimed at social media influencers, you know, people who are posting images of their children in order to earn money. I'm sure that it's probably similar in Australia, but like surveys here, they say that like 70% of French brands are using influencers to promote their products. And there are concerns. The government is concerned about their power, the fact that they're not regulated at all in the EU. So if this happens in France, it will be a first for Europe. But they want they essentially want influencers to be subject to the same regulations that apply to traditional media like ourselves, the newspapers, broadcasters. You know, for example, if we go to, you know, a school to interview children here in France, you know, you need specific written consent from parents. You have to be very careful about showing children's images. And the government just feels that these laws should also apply to influencers. And even more worryingly, they say that like nearly half the images that are posted innocently by parents online of their children, that those are the images that end up being, you know, exchanged on these sites that are, exactly, you know, exploiting children on forums. So there is a dark side to it, obviously, as well. But essentially, yeah, France, it already has legislation protecting children who work as influencers. So not to say that it's leading the pack in Europe, but it does seem to be the first country to try to move to protect the rights of children, but also to influence the influence, so to speak, of influencers and to regulate what they do online.
Yeah, indeed. Interesting. All right, Sharon, terrific to talk. Thank you so much for all of that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Sharon Gaffney is a correspondent with France 24, speaking to us from France in our foreign correspondent spot.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.